stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, WebSphere Message Broker for ZOS, what it is and how to use it as an ESB. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll get a closer look at the IBM WebSphere Message Broker for ZOS. You'll learn how it has evolved to a comprehensive enterprise service bus that can connect just about any application or service to any other application or service. The speaker for today's teleconference is Mark Verpletzi, Product Manager, WebSphere Message Broker. And at this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, Mark Verpletzi. Please go ahead.
Morning or afternoon, everybody. I'm very happy to be with you today. We've got some exciting news to share with you regarding the current release, the new release of WebSphere Message Broker version 6.1. And I'd like to share with you how it can be used on Z-Series platforms, particularly under ZOS, and how it can be used as a enterprise service bus. So let's move on to the agenda slide. We'd like to talk today about why we want to use an enterprise service bus on the Z-Series platform. There are many advantages to doing so, and we'll discuss some of those. Then I'd like to move on to talk about WebSphere Message Broker version 6.1, which was announced on October 9th of this year and was released just last week for general availability. We'll talk briefly about the Message Broker overview and its roadmap, and then we'll discuss some new features that are in there, and then we'll have some time for questions. So let's move on to the next slide. Many of our customers have legacy assets that they need to leverage to meet their business objectives. They need to do this to help grow their business, to increase their efficiency and reduce costs. By reusing a lot of these legacy assets, it eliminates the cost for us to redevelop these assets. And we can use new ways and innovative ways to connect to these legacy assets. The systems that we have in place today are complex. Sometimes they span multiple systems. Sometimes they use multiple interfaces. And the assets that are available today are difficult to adapt to. So we end up spending a lot of our IT budget on maintaining these applications and developing new types of interfaces to them. However, if we could use an enterprise service bus to connect to those, if we move on to the next slide, we can take unique interfaces, match those to the legacy asset, and route messages and create new services that will leverage these legacy assets. A good ESB will convert those protocols from 3270 to SAP systems, will transform those messages, and will distribute these messages and create business events and use separate sources for this information. So using an enterprise service bus will really, really help us into developing new applications out of existing business assets. The message broker running on ZOS gives us the capability to extend a service-oriented architecture onto the Z platform by integrating new interfaces that are not necessarily available under a standard or basic enterprise service bus. So now we can use non-Java type of assets. We can connect to IMS and Kix. We can use COBOL copybooks, for instance, and convert those to XML messages. We can use non-XML type of interfaces, and we can bring in brand new connection and entry points such as files and email and connect those to back-end systems that previously exist or packaged applications such as those brought to you by SAP. Moving on to the next slide, the ZOS platform is uniquely capable to ensure high availability of not only these legacy assets, because that's where they run today, but the enterprise service bus, which connects these applications together. It gives us the capability to dynamically allocate hardware components to protect against component failure. We can use the parallel sysplex to give us 7x24 operations. We have the capability now to upgrade our hardware and upgrade our capacity without interruption of services. So it's a very exciting platform in which to build an enterprise service bus. Moving on to the next slide, which is slide 7, the Z-Series system also gives us the capability to scale much better than anything else available today. So we've got, again, parallel sysplex. We've got dynamic workload balancing. We can support mixed type of workloads. And then we have the capability to integrate offload processors such as ZAP and ZIP. So scalability gives us some very nice capabilities to increase the capacity of the enterprise service bus, to increase the capacity of those applications that connect to it. For disaster recovery capabilities, System Z also gives us some very nice capabilities. One of those, of course, is the automatic restart manager. So Message Broker is fully application restart manager enabled. It's very simple for an operator to assign ARM classifications and name it to the broker. When the broker is started or stopped, it will perform the registration with ARM, enabling the restart to be defined as the ARM policy and the ZOS systems programmer. So we're very excited to be able to take advantage of these capabilities in Z-Series. If we move on to slide 9, the message broker now delivers really a universal ESB. That means we can connect from anywhere to anywhere. We'll examine every message as it comes through and route it accordingly, transforming the content or augmenting the content as necessary. We often find that we need to log the content. We can aggregate messages from disparate sources. We can collect messages and wait on multiple events. Original messages may come from a variety of sources, most notably MQ Series or WebSerMQ, but also essentially any JMS provider available today. So that means the competitors' ESPs can very well and uniquely connect to the WebSerm message broker. Additionally, we'll use SOAP input nodes to perform web services on Message Broker 6.1. We can connect to databases. We can connect to KIX and IMS. We also can use file input and create new web services using transactional data that is currently available only in batch today. Input and output nodes for email are also available. And all the tooling is graphically available using an Eclipse framework. Moving on to slide 10, recapping some of the advantages of WebSerm Message Broker on ZOS. Again, we want to take advantage of the high availability offered to us by the Z-Series processors. Take full advantage of parallel sysplex and resource managers like WebSerMQ. We want to take advantage of the restart manager. And we also would like to support WebSerMQ clustering, which gives us another avenue to provide high availability. There are some specific ZOS connectivity options that are available for vSAM files or for KIX or for KIX transaction gateway. We'd like to take advantage of the workload management, where we have goal-oriented resource allocation and scaling. And then in many ZOS shops, we use SMF records to provide for reporting and chargeback. So we'll be also using SMF to record the usage of the message broker and be able to allocate those charges to the departments that are using them. And then if you are using some extensive data mapping, you have the option of adding the WebSER transformation extender to the message broker to provide for complex many-to-many types of transformations. On slide 11, WebSerm Message Broker on ZOS uses WebSerMQ to provide for a robust messaging backbone that gives you some very good underpinnings for an ESB solution. Inputs can also include JMS, web services, email, file, many types of different input nodes. The Message Broker supports thousands of messages per second as throughput, and is scalable if you decide that you need to have more capacity. We also exploit the unique features of the ZOS platform, such as RACF, or Automated Restart Manager, or Workload Management, Parallel Sysplex, and also the ZAP processors. WebSerm Message Broker for ZOS, of course, is engineered natively for ZOS as well. This gives us the capability, then, to extend our reach to hundreds of ZOS assets, expose those assets to a distributed environment. If we need that, we can move data securely. We can move it quickly as well. We'd also like to help you make web services and their interactions very reliable and very secure. And then again, we support almost any type of commercial IT system available today. So ZOS today offers us many capabilities that are unique to Z, and the message broker can take advantage of those to provide for an enterprise service bus. So let's move on and see what's new in Message Broker version 6.1 and take a look at the new features that are available in there. If we move to slide 13, some of the things that the message broker does provide for is universal connectivity. I mentioned before that the message broker on C-Series was really to be considered a universal type of enterprise service bus. We'd like to call it the Swiss Army knife, if you will, because we want to make sure that we can provide any-to-any connectivity, and that means routing and transforming messages from anywhere to anywhere and using a wide range of protocols to do so, such as MQ or JMS from any JMS provider, HTTP and HTTPS, web services using SOAP messages, file to transform our batch processes into online transactions, any type of user defined through TCP/IP sockets as well. The message broker supports a wide range of data formats as well, any type of binary format, for instance, or COBOL copybooks or C structures, XML or industry standards such as Swift or EDI or HIPAA, any user-defined messages as well. Remember, we want to transform these messages, maybe filter out content, route these messages, enrich these messages, and correlate these messages from the requester through to the receiver. We do offer a simple programming model to create message flows, and that really describes the applications and their connectivity. The message nodes really integrate the logic on which the message broker will operate on the message. And then we'd like to give you the great capability to manage the message broker, as well as providing for more and more performance as we move along delivering new versions of the message broker. On slide 14 is a roadmap that we shared previously, and you'll see that from Q3 2005, when we introduced Message Broker version 6, we've made some significant and often stunning enhancements along the way. 1 year ago, we introduced a brand new development toolkit in Message Broker 6.0.2, and this month we are leveraging that capability and delivering new capabilities in Message Broker version 6.1 that integrate web services support, the services registry and repository, additional native type of connectivity so that you can connect new applications from the requesters to the services. Moving on to slide 15, the key themes that we are offering in Message Broker version 6.1 are ease of use and predictivity. We really would like to make this a lot easier to use, and you'll find that we've made some enhancements that will help you with that. We'd like to provide enhanced SOA support in terms of web services. We are enhancing the administration and security of the message broker, so now we can use web services security, for instance. We'd like to extend the connectivity by offering brand new input and output nodes to allow you to connect more applications. And then platform coverage and performance are always key, and we will always keep those in mind. Moving on to the next slide, slide 16. Again, what we've done here for each of these themes, for instance, the ease of use and productivity, we've reduced the time that it takes to get started with Message Broker. On distributed platforms, it would take hours or half a day or longer to get started, and now Message Broker can install in under an hour. And you can run sample message flows in that time as well. So we'd like to be able to simplify the development tasks that you have when creating message flows by giving you some new debugging options and then just reducing the time that it takes for working solutions. We talk about enhanced SOA support, and some of the things you'll find in the message broker is that we support web services natively, and we'll use web services security and web services addressing as well. We've integrated with the DataPower SOA appliances mostly to provide some common security between elements of the enterprise service bus and some federation between the ESBs. We've extended the connectivity by offering built-in nodes now so that you can connect SAP systems, Siebel, PeopleSoft, Oracle, and JD Edwards systems natively into the message broker, and those are exposed as endpoints. More on that a little bit later. Many of our shops are doing lots of batch processing, and we'd like to be able to notify you that we support now for very large file processing, and this is like gigabytes size files, and we can process those files natively or through FTP. In the administration and systems management, we've given you enterprise-wide authentication and authorization using Tivoli Federated Identity Manager and LDAP, and this gives us the capability then to provide some identity mapping for web services. We've built a plug-in node for the WebSphere MQ Explorer so that you can explore the message broker as well. You'll find that the platform support has increased, providing extensive 64-bit types of platforms and XA support for Java 5. Also, the performance has increased on the order of 150% for XML messages. We've introduced a new XML parser and schema validation. The memory footprint is much smaller, and there are some real-time performance graphics that we'll show you a little bit later on. If we move on to slide 17, and we'll talk more about platform support. Again, we've got a single message broker offering. One of the things you'll find is that for those customers that are using Event Broker, that is not available anymore. That was announced on November 13th as end of marketing, and Event Broker customers will be entitled to Message Broker version 6.1. The rules and formatter will not be available for new customers, but will continue to be available for existing customers that are still using artifacts from WebSphere Message Broker version 2.1 or MQ Series Message Broker version 1.1 if you're still using those artifacts. We've now included a brand new wide range of operating systems and hardware support, including HPUX, both on the PA RISC platforms and Itanium platforms, Linux on Power systems, and Linux on Z-Series, and that's 64-bit, and Solaris and Spark. All Linux and Unix platforms now have 64-bit capability. Okay, the default execution groups, of course, are going to be 64-bit, but your 32-bit execution groups will still continue to run in the message broker. We offer support for a full range of industry standard databases, including DB2, Oracle, Sybase, and Formix, and some new Java support that gives us transactional capability through all broker platforms, and then introduction of Java 5 on all platforms. So let's move to talk about getting started. Again, I mentioned that it is now possible to get started with Message Broker in less than an hour. To help aid that, of course, we package things a little bit different, and the toolkit you'll find now is packaged on a single DVD. For you ZOS customers, the toolkit will install on a Linux or distributed system, Windows system, and install there for you to do your programming of your message flows. And then installation of those bar files will be on the ZOS message broker. We've given you a default configuration to help you understand the message broker and get it up and running quickly. Finally, we've provided a wide range of samples that you can use to help build message flows. And these samples are based on real customer data. So we've gotten these message flows from some of our customers. We've developed them into samples to help you learn and become a little bit more productive as you're programming your message flows. Moving on to slide 19, those of you that own previous versions of the message broker, version 6 or version 5, migration is simply a matter of installing the new message broker, and all artifacts will be moved forward. You also have the capability of installing Message Broker version 6 and 6.1 alongside of each other, which will allow you for some incremental migrations. And again, we made this product available on November 22nd, and I'm very happy to announce that we've exceeded our quality specifications for this product. There are less defects than in any previously shipped version of the Message Broker. Moving on to slide 20, as I said before, the toolkit that was available 1 year ago has now been enhanced to give us some new capabilities, such as some wizards, to allow us to guide you through solution creation. A whistle drag and drop to quickly create web services by dragging and dropping the whistle artifacts. We said that we like to make things a lot easier, so we're moving a little bit more towards a scripting mode rather than a programming model, so you'll be able to create solutions much easier. And then drag and drop mapping for mapping of your messages. And then an integrated test facility, so as you create new message flows, you're able to unit test those immediately. And that means for those platforms on which you do development, you'll be able to install your own version of the Message Broker for purposes of unit testing. And there is a new application called Test Client that will help you test these message flows. You'll be able to debug these using a Java debugger, and you'll be able to institute a component trace to help follow this message through its path. As I mentioned before, on slide 21, we support web services. This gives the Message Broker the unique capability of being both a web services provider and a web services consumer. We provide this by giving you SOAP input nodes and SOAP reply nodes. When acting as a consumer, the Message Broker can process synchronous SOAP requests or asynchronous SOAP requests so that I can issue a SOAP request and then wait for the reply to come back at some later point in time. And then these nodes can be combined so that you can create a web services intermediary with the Message Broker. So we can retrieve a web services request and then create a new web services request to go out to gather some more information before responding to the original request. As I mentioned before, web services security and web services addressing is out of the box. We can provide for web services addressing reference points and message addressing properties by changing the routes of the message. We provide for web services security and authentication by using an LDAP directory or Tivoli Federated Identity Manager. Security is provided either as a username and password or X509 certificates. All of the input nodes and output nodes will contain a policy set, and the policy set will describe the security properties for this particular message or message flow. Moving on to slide 22, some other standards that we will support for web services are multiple transports, including HTTP and HTTPS, any JMS 1.1 provider, WebSerMQ, SOAP 1.1, 1.2, and SOAP with attachments. Right now, the Message Broker is Web Services Basic Profile compliant. There is also some explicit SOAP and WSDL support I mentioned before that we support WSDL drag and drop so that we can create and configure web services. The Message Broker is very scalable by providing multiple execution groups. We provide transport listeners within the execution groups. On slide 23, I mentioned before that we provide some integration with the Data Power appliance. We support and exploit the Data Power for web services security. There is some built-in security level management, so we can monitor and manage that traffic using policies. And it's also able to scale. We've given you a new administration user experience, so we can operationally configure the Data Power appliance and export policy sets to the Data Power appliance. Moving on to slide 24, Message Broker 6.1 now supports WebSER Service Registry and Repository. This is integrate and gives us true governance through the registry and determining message broker processing. Development and runtime usage aspects can be used together with the message broker. Runtime interactions actually can have the message broker look up artifacts pertaining to an SOA artifact, or we can look up endpoints to decide where we're going to route messages. Moving on to slide 25. I mentioned before that we now provide integrated support for major EIS systems, such as SAP, Siebel, PeopleSoft, and Oracle e-commerce. On ZOS systems, the SAP adapter is fully supported. On Siebel and PeopleSoft systems, those adapters are on distributed systems. The adapter now provides an out-of-the-box built-in node, so the adapter is now exposed as an endpoint. And you can create SAP input nodes, SAP output nodes. You can create new web services out of your EIS systems. There is significant tooling in there to help you describe these endpoints. The endpoints then are configured using a wizard. The wizard is the same wizard that's available in other WebSphere products as well. And it gives us now the capability of natively supporting these adapters within the message broker. Slide 31, we talked about advanced security features. The message broker now contains many advanced security features that support cross-domain security processing. Identity and authentication and authorization are native capabilities, and those are provided by configuring the input and output node properties. Any input node, including MQ or HTTP or JMS, and especially web services, can provide all of the identity attributes that you need. Also, those identity attributes are available on output nodes. We'll use the Eclipse Editor for security profile administration, creating policy sets that describe the security properties. As I mentioned before, Message Broker can use an LDAP directory or Tivoli Federated Identity Manager for security technologies. In Tivoli Federated Identity Manager, we can also map user identities so that subsequent process nodes can be performed using alternate identities. And again, the context can be username and password or X509 certificates. And all the properties that you describe on the input nodes will follow through for the rest of the message. On slide 33, we've given you some new configurable services that will allow you to modify operational patterns and parameters without having to redeploy message flows. Improved bar file processing, which actually separates bar deployment descriptor on all broker platforms. And all broker platforms have native commands to display the bar file contents. On slide 34, several other things that our customers have asked for, which are to operationally disable or enable trace nodes in a message flow. So if I do have a problem and incur a problem in production, I can turn on a trace, collect some information, and then turn off the trace so that there is no performance degradation for having the trace node disabled. And support for WebSphere MQ, where we can actually browse message queues for input and MQ get nodes. We've improved the XSLT support, and we've provided for JDBC transaction support. I mentioned previously, and on slide 35, that the message broker has increased its performance on all of the platforms. We've experienced major throughput improvement across a wide range of scenarios, and these scenarios are customer-oriented scenarios. So we've taken those message flows that our customers have developed and put them into the message broker to do our testing. So we build on real-world customer-verified scenarios. We've significantly improved the XML performance by providing for a new parser, up to 150% improvement on very complex XML documents. Validating XML documents, up to 3 times improvement. And we've added a new binary and string parsers so that legacy and industry standard message formats will help benefit on that. And finally, the runtime has been significantly compacted to reduce the runtime footprint. So One thing that we're very excited about is to show you Message Broker version 6.1, have you use this in an ESB type of environment. We provide leading performance in a broad range of scenarios using a very broad range of input and output nodes so that we can connect new sources of input and create new web services out of those, or provide additional connectivity in areas where the message broker was not able to connect before. There is an unparalleled range of integration options and capabilities. And then we support many users' range of experience and needs. We've spent a tremendous amount of time addressing the particular five themes that I talked about earlier by addressing the ease of use and productivity of using the message broker, by enhancing the SOA support, providing for more input nodes and more output nodes, and providing for servicing web services requests. We've made the message broker much easier to manage and administer. We've extended the connectivity using more options and more input and output nodes, and we provided for more platform support, specifically 64-bit, and increased the performance of the message broker so that it performs second to none in the industry. And then we've built on our successes that we've experienced in delivering Message Broker version 6 to you to introduce new and significant opportunities for high available and high performance integration. I'd like to address your attention now to the Impact event, which will be held in Las Vegas on April 6th of 2008, where we will be talking a lot more about Message Broker and Message Broker 6.1, Message Broker as an enterprise service bus. And this, by the way, is the premier SOA conference. And I would like to invite you to go to this website here and register to attend. So with that, I think I'll open this up for any questions.
Thank you, Mark. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice, and please listen to all options before making your selection. And now our first question. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, please press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. We'll pause for just a moment to allow you all a chance to signal. For our second question, we'd like you to rate the level of technical information presented in this teleconference. If you thought it was at the right level, please press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than you needed to hear, press star 3. And again, we'll pause for a moment. Third question. If you are already using WebSphere Message Broker, which version are you running? If it is version 6, press star 1. If it is version 5, press star 2. If it is an earlier version, MQ Integrator Broker or MQ Integrator, press star 3. And if you are not currently using WebSphere Message Broker, press star 4. And we'll be right back with our fourth question. If you are already using WebSphere Message Broker, what platform are you running it on? If it is ZOS, press star 1. If it is Linux or System Z, press star 2. If you are running WebSphere Message Broker on a distributor platform, press star 3. And we'll be back with our final question. For our final question, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If you are, please press star 1. If not, press star 2, and we'll be right back to take your questions. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all very much for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone at any time. Keep in mind that if you're using a speakerphone, please make sure the mute function is disabled to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, it is star 1 on your touchtone telephone if you'd like to ask a question today. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow you a chance to signal. And there are no questions at this time. Once again, that is star 1 on your touchtone telephone if you'd like to ask a question today. And our first question will come from Terry Shea.
Yeah, hi. I had a question here for the bar deployments on ZOS. Is that running in Unix System Services?
Well, that's a good question, Terry. And one for which I don't have the answer for that one. And we'll have to get back to you on that one. What we'll do with the Message Broker toolkit, you'll be able to deploy the bar file from the toolkit, and you'll also be able to, I believe, deploy the bar file from a WebSphere Message Broker command. So, Terry, if you'd be so kind as to send me a note using the email address on the first slide, I'll be happy to get that answer for you, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
And actually, I had one more question.
Certainly, go ahead.
What the minimum level of Java to run the message broker on ZOS, is that the Java 5?
No, although we do support Java 5, we can support Java 1.4 as well.
Okay, thank you.
Final reminder, that's star 1 to ask a question today, and we'll move to Don Schoen.
Hi. I was wondering how I would find out about either case studies or reference accounts, people, IBM customers that you feel have taken best advantage of the previous releases of this product.
Don, are you an IBMer?
No.
You're a customer. Okay.
A customer.
In IBM, we have a reference customer database, and your account manager will be real happy to get access of the, for that for you, and he can share some of that information. Your account manager as well will be able to contact me, and we do have some very good stories for that as well. In addition, I believe we've got some marketing activities that will also be able to help you that are coming up here in the next quarter. If there's anything specific, Don, that you'd like, any specific instances or something, please, again, use the email address at the first slide, and I'll be more than happy to get back to you on that one.
Appreciate that.
Anytime.
Our next question will come from Stephen Cook.
I have some questions about the connections with the... I'm getting an echo here. About the connections with the Enterprise Service Bus, is the ESB required to also run Message Broker?
That's a good question as well, Stephen. And the answer is no, it's not. Webster ESB is a different product, and the Webster ESB and Message Broker work together to form more of a federated type of ESB. ESB is not required to run Message Broker or for the Message Broker to behave as an enterprise service bus. Does that help you?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. I think
it
your question
did,
was...
It did answer the question that I asked.
Okay. Would you please restate it then?
You said that you plan on building out the SOA portion of Message Broker in the future. Are there plans to, like, consume the Enterprise Service Bus then, basically?
Do you mean to have the Enterprise Webster ESB to be included in Message Broker? Is that what you're asking me?
I believe so.
Okay. There are no plans for that as well. They are separate products. And we'll continue along separate R&D efforts. And what we really plan on doing, because there are instances where Webster ESB is the right solution for our customer and instances where Webster Message Broker is the right solution for our customer, the plans are to make these message ESBs work closer together in a federated type of fashion. And that means that I think you'll see some announcements later on that might include things like policies, that might include things like more integration with the Tivoli Federated Identity Manager, that would include other things like that, okay? However, I don't mean to pre-announce anything at all, but those are good directions that an ESB would go. We've got no plans to include Webster ESB within the Message Broker. They will remain separate products.
So there are some things that you'll be able to do with either product individually, but there are also things that you're going to need both.
There may be an instance where you would need both. That's correct. Well, I can't think of one right now, but... For instance, if there were different types of input nodes that you might wanted to use, such as the file input node, that, of course, is not supported at this time in Webster ESB. So you'll see these solutions coming closer together so that they'll work together much tighter, but there are no plans at this point that those products will be joined into a single product. Okay.
And there are no further questions at this time. Mr. Verplezzi, I'll turn the call back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, I want to thank you for being with us today. I'd also like to invite you, if you have any other questions at some later point in time, to use my email address, which is on the first slide of this presentation. I'll be more than happy to answer your questions. We will get... engage others if we need some more in-depth discussions. Just a reminder, a week ago, tomorrow, we have released for general availability Webster Message Broker version 6.1. Look for the Message Broker 6.1 for ZOS to be available by the 14th of December. Again, we're real excited that this is now generally available, and we're looking forward to building a better message broker in the future. And in the meantime, We feel that this is going to meet an awful lot of our customer needs. There was a lot of customer input that went into it. So with that, I'll bid you a good day, and happy brokering.
Once again, thank you all very much for joining us today. That does conclude the presentation. Have a great afternoon.